welcome to another episode of the Big Picture Business Podcast. And today, we're going to talk about all the stupid stuff we've done. Because why not?
This whole episode is all about the stupid stuff we've done in the past.
Like this intro?
Yeah, like how stupid this intro is.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, we wanted to take a little detour with this episode because I know we talk a lot about business stuff and all of our fun and exciting strategies that have helped us and helped our clients and hopefully helping you get success in your business. But sometimes we do stupid things, and we just wanted to share some of those things because why not? As Dominika said,
because why not? And just like. Just bring it back down to earth. You guys know my favorite phrase is work hard, stay humble, right? And I have been humbled so many times in my life, and I have fallen so hard on my face. Foot and mouth syndrome is very big over here. Like, I have done some stupid things, and Rory has been there for a lot of it. Unfortunately, the thing that I love about you, Rory, is that I've said some really dumb stuff, like not even realizing it in the moment, but you're so good where you're just like, huh? Okay. We're going to talk about that? Or are we just going to like, let this go? I'm telling you, you all need a Rory in your life. He's just very compassionate when stupid stuff comes up. So, okay, Rory, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's like the dumbest thing you've ever done?
There's a few, but okay. So the one that I'm really thinking of is I decided to take this trip. So I was living in Canada at the time. Now, so if you don't understand my timeline, if you want to understand the timeline of Rory and my life, I was born in Canada, moved to the US for high school. After high school, I moved back to Canada. Okay. And that's where I got my audio engineering degree. Now, while I was getting my audio engineering degree, I was living in Vancouver, Canada, and I decided to take this trip with a friend to Calgary, which is in Alberta. This is normally a 12 to 14 hour drive. And we're like, oh, like we're going to drive through the night. We want to get there pretty quick. You know, we're just going to go nighttime. We want to get to this event that we were going to. It was actually a Bob Proctor event that we were going to.
Okay.
And if you don't know who Bob Proctor is, he's a motivational speaker. He was in the movie The Secret, if you're into that type of thing. At the time, I was. Nice guy. Got to, you know, have dinner with him, and he was cool. I owned a pretty fast sports car.
What was it?
I had like pretty much the first off the line, the newest model at the time, Hyundai Tiburon.
Oh yeah.
And you might say, oh, you know, like whatever, it was a Hyundai, but this was like the top of the line
fast
one. And it was built 2 years before they actually went into production. And this thing, like the first one off the line, pretty much.
All right.
So, okay. So they had done a lot of stuff to this, because you know when I bought it had a few thousand miles on it because of they had been driving it. They'd already replaced the transmission. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Because of all the demonstrations they had been doing.
Yeah. Looking good. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So we get out of Vancouver and we're like, there's no one around. It's like just empty like straight highways. So we're like, let's go and let's see like what we can do. So we just start going as fast as we can. And then we start getting out into these windy roads and we just keep going literally the whole way from just outside of Vancouver all the way to Calgary. We did that trip in 6 hours.
Whoa.
And so, we were averaging about 140 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. That's dumb for sure.
Now there was this, and like, you get into some very, very windy roads up in these mountains. And but there was this one part, there's like, this is a big hill. Okay. Like big, like massive, just straight down.
Okay.
And so like we got there and we were already like maxed out as far as what we could actually do going down the hill.
Okay.
And so we were going 200 going down this hill.
It's amazing the car could even do that.
Yeah. And this was like, oh yeah, it was a lot for this car to take. But it shows you like what they did like to this car, because normally like a Hyundai Tiburon, you wouldn't be able to get it up to 200. There's like no way.
What gear are you in at this point? That's the question.
Six.
Okay. All right.
You know, manual transmission. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. But so it was early morning at this point.
Okay.
Sun's just coming up. We're going down this hill. Lamborghini pulls up next to us. Mm. Dude looks over. We're going 200 down this hill next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He just takes off. Lamborghinis can't go much over 200 in the first place. Like, he must have taken the limiter off of the car to be able to do that.
And they're kind of weighty too. Like, the stock ones have weight to them. So yeah.
Yeah. And you got to think this was 2003.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, this was not like a new one. That's
I got
like,
you
got all the like fancy electronics, but very, very stupid. Very stupid. I would never, ever, ever do that again.
I'm glad you're here.
So dangerous.
So dangerous. But I'm sure at the time you were like, hey.
Because I am so comfortable driving, I actually know how to drive in race cars. Not a second thought about it. Hmm. There was no second thought about my safety or anything.
Just a part of you.
It's so like, and it's so weird, you know, like I would never do that now because I've never like, you know, put myself in that type of situation, right?
When you have kids, but things change. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's makes me think of another time. So that same friend, maybe he was the bad influence, or maybe I was the bad influence. I don't know. So we went up to, we were like halfway up to Whistler, which is like this like windy road up in the opposite direction up from Vancouver. We were probably about halfway up to Whistler. We decided to come back for whatever reason. I think it was just getting too late. And it was nighttime. He had his car. I had mine. And my car was significantly better. So he had like Hyundai Accent, which is like a POS.
What? Listen, Hyundai, if you ever want to be a sponsor, we take it back. But yes, a total POS. Yes.
Okay. So, but he's like, you know, hey, you know, on the way back down, can I drive your car? And I was like, sure. Whatever.
Generous.
Now, yeah, I think like my car handles really, really well.
Okay.
Okay. So you can whip around those turns. No problem. It doesn't matter. Like if it's me driving it or someone else, you can handle it really well. You know, he's flying down this twisty road. Now you got to think like these are sheer cliffs.
Okay.
And you've got like maybe a guardrail saving you. So it's dangerous. You know, like, have you ever seen those races that they do like Pikes Peak and things like that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So like, think of like that type of dangerous racing, like going down this mountain.
Okay.
Okay. Except I'm now in his like crap Hyundai Accent.
Okay.
But I'm keeping up with him because I can drive better than him, but he's driving my car. So he's able to like maneuver like significantly better. Mm-hmm. And I'm hitting turns and I'm, you know, like sliding through the turns, but I can feel the wheels buckling under the car as I'm like turning. I was like, this is probably the most dangerous thing ever, because if one of those wheels gives out or wheel, you know, the tire pops or something, I'm just tumbling over the side of this cliff. So I pulled back after a couple of like really close calls. I'm just going to hold back.
I'm glad you did. Yeah. Pretty dumb, dude. Got to say, that was stupid. I find
what about
it. Yeah. Where to begin? It's funny that you're talking about car stuff, because by far the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life is I bought a 1999 Honda Civic Si VTEC, baby. And this thing was fire engine red. And it had got a serious paint job because it had been in multiple accidents, unbeknownst to me, like this thing. But I loved this car. So I was 18, out on my own for the first time, moved out, got myself a new pair of wheels. This thing was amazing. Not so much. And here's why. So I loved this thing. I drove all the way. So at the time, I was living in Sonoma County. For those of you who don't know California, It's NorCal. So I was living in Northern California, drove all the way out to the Capitol, went to Sacramento. I picked up this beast of a car. I think I paid like $6,000 for it or something, like every last cent that I had. Okay. Like, this car is going to be my car. And keep in mind that like, I've had this affinity for like drifting and drag racing. Like, I love that kind of stuff. So similar to Rory, I've always been very good at it. Not that I've done it recently, but at the time I was very good at it and I loved it. I loved like the culture and just hanging out and just talking cars and just the mods that you could do. This Honda that I bought had this huge tack on the front of it. Like, it had been tricked out beyond what I should have had at the time. And I think you probably know where this is going, right? So I ended up driving out to the coast. So there's a raceway called Infineon Raceway in Sonoma County. And it's where they did like Wednesday night drag races. And I was on my way to go to the races with a friend of mine. And we decided to go like on this really like awesome adventure. Like he had driven up from the Bay Area and we were driving along Bodega Bay. And Bodega Bay is gorgeous, but it also is like feet away from like falling into the ocean, cliff style, like very, very steep. And I thought I was super cool, super young. And I'm, you know, mobbing up and down, going way too fast. And I slowed down at the one freaking stop sign of the whole damn town, put my blinker on, and a truck was coming up behind me really, really fast. They did not see me because my car was, it was slammed to the ground. It was so low. It's as low as a car could possibly get to the ground, right? Super ghetto. And as I'm making a right-hand turn at the stop sign, this truck hit me going 65 miles an hour as I was turning. So my car starts spinning. And I got so lucky that I didn't go over into the water. I mean, so lucky. As the car was spinning, I hit my chest on the steering wheel super hard. And my head, the left side of my head, hit the window. It was like this weird bounce effect. And that one day by far set me on what now has been like the best part of my life thus far. But at the time, it was the dumbest thing that I'd ever done. Just thinking I was super cool in this car. And I didn't do anything wrong when I got in the accident. But just by buying this car and thinking I was so cool. It was just dumb. Anyways, ended up, you know, fracturing my neck, like bruising my ribs really bad. I dealt with chronic pain for years. I mean, there's video and pictures of me wearing a neck brace in the music studio when Rory and I were recording the first album because it was that bad. I didn't know Rory at that point. I actually met Rory, I think like a year after that. I'm pretty sure is when I had to move back to Santa Cruz because of this.
Under a year, yeah.
Yeah. I had to move back to Santa Cruz and get with doctors that actually like knew what they were doing because it was so bad. The pain was so extreme. And of course, 2 weeks before this happened, I moved in with roommates that I didn't remember. The whole thing was just, it was bizarre. So anyways, I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you coming into the studio and not being able to remember lyrics, not being able to remember melodies. I mean, there was like so much we worked through to actually be able to make music.
Well, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. So I know this episode is about like the stupid things we've done. And I can go on and on about like this car ended up selling to somebody else and it got stolen the next day and it got tossed in the river in Santa Rosa on fire. Like this car was not supposed to survive and it didn't. So yeah, this car just had bad karma, but I'm glad you're bringing that up, Rory, where I think in large part why I have the success that I have today is because of you, Rory, just saying like, we're going to do this. It's okay. Like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep doing this. There were significant days we were in the studio where I just flat out did not remember the day before. I remember when I told you like what I had been through, I remember you just being like, aha, like, okay, I can do this because you have your own concussion stories, right? Like you've been through quite a bit.
I've had 7 concussions.
Right. Brain injuries are no joke. So if you can get with someone, with a friend, a mentor who's like, okay, let's just keep working this. Let's keep going. Rory and I have been through a lot of just communication, my own frustration. I'm just like, this is the worst. But here we are, right? Just by sheer like grit and determination to get stuff done. So if you're in this position where you know, maybe you've had a brain trauma or whether it's physical or not, maybe something has happened to you where you've got some like PTSD around some stuff, keep going. It's going to get better. Maybe you'll have a podcast, you know, maybe you'll own your own business. Maybe you'll do something that you've always wanted to do that you've never had the courage to do. But truly it's because of Rory that I'm sitting here that we're doing this because I was real dark there for a long time. I mean, you know this, Rory, but thanks. So that was the dumbest thing that I've ever done. But it also, again, it led me down this really awesome path of moving back home to Santa Cruz, getting back together with my high school sweetheart, Chris. We're now married. We have a daughter. Rory and I are doing marketing now. We've got all this stuff going on. So if something has happened to you where you're like, that was so dumb, make sure you're learning from it, whatever it is. I guess my best advice, because I have done the dumbest stuff where I had to go back and be like, but you know what? Wait, I learned something and I moved forward and I took something from that. Rory and I have not seen each other since in person, since
like 5 years.
Well, since my wedding, I saw you on my wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Split second.
Yeah. But I mean, like, actual, we're actually like able to hang out.
2015, maybe? Like, it's been 6 years. Yeah. Which is wrong. Okay. All right. So, that all aside, another stupid thing I did was spend $30,000 on a wedding and have no pictures of me and Rory. That was stupid. I can't believe that. I spent so much money on our friggin' wedding and there's no pictures that show that, like, I was even there with my best friends. That was so dumb. If you're currently planning a wedding, I'm telling you right now, go around to every single table and take pictures of you with the table. Because then you know, hey, we were all there. But there's not, why didn't I think to do that? I remember seeing like you and Carly and Lily had just been born. And that was a huge thing. You guys came all the way to be there for us, which was incredible. And we didn't even get the time to like, say hello.
Yeah, but we couldn't stay at the reception for very long. That was part of it because of Lily being.
Well, so, yeah, but still. So here's what's weird. I'm like about to get married. I'm like walking down this like beautiful grassy knoll thing to get married, which I'm all excited about. And I turn over and I see you and I'm like, I want to say hi, but I'm like about to get married. Yeah. That was weird. Yeah. Take the time with your guests is all I'm saying. Or elope. Looking back on it, I kind of wish we just would have eloped and saved the cash. It's like a down payment on something, you know?
Yeah, we were very strategic about what we did with our wedding.
Your wedding was so fun. It was fantastic. I loved your wedding.
Yeah, it was definitely under $10,000. Because
learn from Rory on this one. I spent so much money on our wedding. We went to Alaska. We fished for all of the fish that served our entire wedding, which was fun, like to do that, but that's a giant expense. You know, there's some things you really like want, but at the end of the day, just, yeah, do what you want. But I just say go alone.
Well, and you know, this is one of the things, like I tried to tell one of my cousins, that's like, all my cousins, I don't know, they think they're Kardashians. Like, I mean, legitimately, like, that's how they live their lifestyle. And, you know, they had their, you know, wedding in Mexico, like destination wedding. And yeah, it's like, great. Like, it's nice and all this. But you spend like a crap ton of money on it. They don't own homes.
Mm. Yeah. Who's right? It for at the end of the day? Who's who? Yeah. What and who is this all for? Like the feedback that I received from our wedding, they're like, it was the best wedding we've ever been to. It was so much fun. Like, I don't remember any of it because I was just making sure everyone else had what they needed. And that's not how it should be, right? What did you feel about your wedding? Did you feel like you got like your time to really enjoy it?
Yeah, enough.
It looked like it. You guys had a blast. And Carly sang to you. Oh, it was so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, we were happy.
Good. That's all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we were, like I said, we were very strategic because we knew we wanted to buy a house. You know, we're not going to spend all this money on a wedding when we want that money to go into an investment.
Smart.
Yeah.
I was not so smart. Learn from my mistake. It was pretty stupid. The pictures were nice, though. If I would have gotten more.
Right.
Anyways, what else? What else can the good folks learn from our mistakes?
Well, you know, about the time I became a drug kingpin.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, in Orange County, this story? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay, back in the day, I don't know like what the deal was, but in high school, I had a lot of friends who just out of high school, they all started selling drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Oh, everything. Everything from coke to meth to E to whatever. Yeah. This small period of time, I want to say like a year-ish. And I mean, like so much crazy stuff happened in this short period of time. And there was like all these people selling drugs. What I found out is that like these people that I knew, you know, like in movies when people like they tell these people who are like buying from them, they're like, oh, well, you know, the boss isn't going to be happy.
Yeah.
Right. So they were doing that, but they were referring to me being the boss.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
And I didn't
know this. Did you have like a name?
Yes.
What was your name?
Monster.
Monster. Okay. So you were just holding everything for everybody or what?
No. They were just telling people that I was I was the guy behind everything.
You were the intimidation.
Yeah. So that the people wouldn't like mess with them.
Wow.
I'm Monster. Then, like, eventually I found this out and I don't know. It was funny. But how this came about is because one of the friends used to call me Rory Monster.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
So then they just shortened it. And then they
became cool.
Yeah. Then because it sounds intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Monster's not going to like that. I mean, wouldn't you be intimidated if someone said that to you?
Yes, of course. Not that I'd run in that kind of circle, but yeah, of course they'd be intimidated. Yeah.
So stupid thing, yes, is choose your friends wisely. And so literally right around that time, I disconnected from pretty much everyone I knew.
That's smart.
Yeah. I was like, this is not a good situation. I mean, bad stuff happened. Multiple people died.
Yeah.
People ended up in jail. Like, it was a bad situation. So I was just like, I don't need these people in my life. You know, it was just, you meet people like through going to high school with people and, you know, and then they know people and you're like in this world without even realizing it. And you're like,
yeah.
I'm
and out. All of a sudden you become the monster.
So yeah, exactly. Without even realizing it.
Yeah.
So that's how I became a drug kingpin.
Wow. I'd forgotten all about that story.
What else? I mean, okay. The record label.
Ooh.
So I had a record label that I'd built up that was doing really well. Independent record label. We'd been selling music all over the world.
The Gaia Project.
Really cool. Yeah, the Gaia Project. Hey, this is one of the bands that was on it. It was, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years into it. I was wanting to expand. And I had invested like all the money into the record label. So I've been working my butt off wanting to expand. And
how old were you?
Early 20s.
Okay.
So I brought on a business partner and we came up with this game plan. And the game plan was that we're going to bring on a bunch of new artists. I was going to purchase all of the inventory that we needed, t-shirts and CDs and all that stuff. This was back when, you know, CDs were actually a thing. And we'd been selling like really well. So it was like, it was a sound business decision to do this, to expand and to bring on these bands. And so we did this and we signed the contracts, brought, you know, I invested like tens of thousands of dollars doing all this. And then the business partner was supposed to provide all the money for the marketing. And then he bailed. And well, when you've got all your money tied up in merchandise and no money to market, well, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Out of luck.
Yeah. So yeah, it unfortunately been kind of a recurring theme of business partners not working out very well.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not on that list.
No.
Okay.
I'm fine. But just so, yeah, I'm very cautious now about business partners and things like that. So, you know, just, I guess the lesson there is, you know, if you're considering working with someone, look at the contracts that you're putting together and make sure that things are not weighted one way or another. You know, make sure that if you're investing, it's investing equally and at the same time. Yeah. And if you're someone that just doesn't work well with business partners, then don't have business partners.
If you're not certain about a partnership, don't make it legal. You know, try it out without signing any paperwork first and see if it's viable. See if the person is aligned with your morals, your values, all that. Because I've never in my entire life, and I've been around a lot of professionals, I've never met anyone that works nearly as hard as Rory. And that's how I knew that hitching my wagon, so to speak, to Rory is always going to work out for me. And I hope you feel the same, Rory, where it's like, we're going to, it's like, ride or die. Like, we're going to make sure it works out for each other every time, because we're super loyal in that way. And we're never going to let the other one fail or fall. And so that's very rare. So if someone is like, you know, come into your world, it's like, I'm going to offer you 20 grand. I'm going to, you know, be 50-50 partner in your business. I don't care how much money they're offering. Nobody is probably going to work as hard as you because it's your business. So yeah, like you're saying, Rory, just to further solidify that.
Well, yeah. And to give you another example, when I started the book business, I really felt like I lacked sales skills.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, never thought that at all.
And part of that, you know, I'm not the greatest speaker, and I'm definitely not salesy.
I think you are.
What?
You're a great speaker, and I think you can do sales very well. I've seen you very well. Maybe maybe things have changed, but today I think you're great at it.
Well, I appreciate that. But I mean, you know, I say a lot of ums and ahs, and I have brain issues and stuff, but that's, you know, so it was like all in my mind. I just kept thinking like, I'm just not very good at this. I need someone who has that, like the magic words that can just sell this. This guy just that I had found, I was, you know, working with him, and he, you know, he said all the right things that were like polished sales presentation type of guy. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we started working together on some stuff, and we started putting some projects together. And what ended up happening is he wasn't closing any deals. Mm. And then I'd get on the phone with people, and the deals would close like almost instantly.
Hmm.
What's the point of like this guy then?
Yeah. What's the point?
Right.
But through that experience, you realized you could do it.
Well, yeah. But the problem was, is that he literally took my business name, my business concept, everything I taught him, and started a competing company.
Well, that's just trash.
Yeah. He cannot innovate because I created everything.
Right.
And I know where everything went. So whatever he's doing, he's working on outdated information.
We wish him well, but good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just some shady people out there for sure. And I think people underestimate who we are as well.
Oh yeah.
I think in large part because people know our history.
Well, I'm very unassuming, and I, you know, Canadian.
You said it, not me. This time.
Yeah. Right. But like, so some people see that, I don't know, as a weakness or whatever, but at the same, you know, at the same time, like I have a ton of clients who appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we get to choose our clients too. That's the other nice thing.
When the day arrived, when I got to choose my clients, where it wasn't like, I'm just taking what's coming in, game changer in a huge way, huge way. All right. So I think another big mistake that we've made was when we launched our first EP for Forever Yours. Again, real quick, for those of you who don't know, and for those of you that do, sorry, broken record, but Rory and I also have a band called Forever Yours. And when we launched our first EP, we were so excited. There was so much going on, but there was a couple of hangups. Rory?
So back in the day, before all the fancy software that existed that we have now to build like websites and membership areas, we had to scramble together and hack a bunch of code
together
from multiple different plugins and softwares and websites in order to make a website and a membership area work for launching this platform that we were launching along with our album.
We were so before the times.
Yeah.
What other band had a freaking membership? This was 10 years ago or something ridiculous. Like, it was a long time ago.
It was more than 10 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. It was a long time ago.
But yeah. So we had this and we were like getting ready to launch. We chose the date and we were like promoting. We were working on everything. And then suddenly the software stops working. And nothing that we did could get it to function. Like nothing. We were like hacking the code in every way we could possibly think of. We're like on with the owners of the company, and they're like, can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so then I got sick. I got really so sick. Yeah. And then I wasn't able to work on anything.
But then even before you got sick, we were so excited because we were told by the CD print company, when CDs were cool, that, you know, come pick up your albums. And we went to go pick them up. And when we did, none of the covers were correct. So we had this great plan where we're like, look, everyone that wants to be featured on an album cover, like submit your image, brilliant marketing plan, right? Because everyone's face who's going to be on the album cover, they want that album. It's their face. So they're going to buy it, right? Obvious. Okay. So, but when we went to go pick them up, we made like a whole big day, very exciting San Francisco outing. Like, this is going to be great. The graphic, what was it, Rory? It was like a very key thing was missing from there. Remember what it was?
I don't remember.
It basically made everyone's face look like a Simpson. Like it was like these weird neon colors. We're like, what is this? This is the file you sent us. And sure enough, we had sent them the wrong file. And so we had to get them printed all over again. And we sent out these beautiful, beautiful packages like for our membership that we had. We sent like these fun paper cranes, and they got buttons and stickers, and they got, you know, merch, other like shirts and stuff. And then the album cover, obviously, like the most important thing of everything, because their face was on it, wasn't correct. So we had to get those reprinted. But the point of us sharing all this is that we put the cart before the horse a little bit, knowing that experience we went through now. And we had something similar happen with the second album too, where we're like, this is just not working, where we put a date on it and it ended up being ready like a month later. So what I have learned from that experience is the course that I have put out, webinar that I've done, is either one of two things: either do it all up front ahead of time and just have it be done and then start doing the marketing for it, or start doing the marketing for it, like if it's a product or a service, sell what you're going to sell, put a date way in the future on it, then do it, and then launch it, right? To see if it's like a viable thing. So for my course, for example, I know that we did a lot of marketing around that to see if it was going to be viable. We knew it was. People had bought it ahead of time. Great. I can go ahead and shoot it now. If it wasn't going to be viable, why am I going to spend hours and hours shooting this course that nobody wants, right? So there's different ways of doing these things. But in the case of the album, it was like, we put a date on it. People were excited, and it happened weeks after we wanted it to. So yeah, that was a stressful time for sure.
Yeah. The stupid thing was that we were the ones that chose the deadline.
Yep.
And we could have avoided all of that.
We could have avoided the stress of it, and people like wanting and wondering where the heck is our stuff, you know, because we created a lot of buzz.
Because we had hundreds of pre-orders.
Yeah. It was fun to see that happen, but then, you know, got to deliver at some point. So that was a very good lesson that I feel like set us up for success for future things. Well, this has been fun. So one of the dumbest things I've ever done is I hired somebody, a new employee of my company, early stages of Sweetie Marketing, where I let them be in charge of, and maybe you've heard this story before, but I let them be in charge of an AdWords account for my biggest client, like my big fish. The dumbest thing. I mean, who does that? I did it because I just trusted.
Day one, like take over my biggest account.
So stupid. I'll tell you why. Because this guy cost me $30,000 in ad spend for the client. And it's because I didn't vet this person. And it was truly the most anxiety I've ever felt in my business. I thought right then and there, like, I'm screwed here. And I was smart enough at the time that I had business insurance for things like that could possibly go wrong, but still, like, I don't want to have to use that. I'm not interested in that. The interesting thing about the whole process is that as I was talking to the new employee about all of this, he just denied everything. Deny, 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 deny. And that's how I knew, like, all right, if this guy's not going to take any ownership for this, like, this is not going to work out in the long run. But also, yeah, the error that he made was he was sending traffic to a dead link. And my clients spend millions of dollars every single month on their ad spend. and usually get a really solid return. So when my client messaged me and was like, we haven't seen any return from this portion of ad spend. Can you tell us what's going on? Give us some reporting. I give all my clients very clear reporting of what's happening, where we're spending money, the puzzle pieces that come into place. I am not the blind marketer. There's a lot of people that do that where it's like, give me the money and I'll just make it happen for you. I like to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. Everything's above board so that if something comes up or if someone has a good idea that we can try, I want to keep it organized. Like, what are we all doing as a whole? And the business owner plays a big role in that. So in this case, when I saw that there was this hole of $30,000, we knew something was wrong. So this guy, anyways, ended up letting him go, obvious reasons. But the business owner, bless their heart, because I was so honest about it, I came to them right away. I ripped the bandaid off immediately. I didn't let it fester. I was like, listen, I did not vet this person enough. And it was entirely my fault that I let this person be in charge of this aspect of your business. And I'm so sorry. I thought that they were going to be the best. I gambled with your money, completely my fault. I will pay you back. Let me know what you need. But because I was so honest and I got lucky, I'm not saying go do this, but because I got lucky, the business owner said, you know what? Since you've been super honest since day one, don't worry about it. Let's just keep moving on. And they're still with me today. That says a lot. So I'm very, very fortunate that I didn't get sued. I'm very fortunate that I had the insurance in case I did. So put these things in place in case you do have like a mental lapse, because wow, was that dumb beyond dumb. What about you, Rory?
Yeah. I mean, similar thing. It was actually with running ads for a client. Hired a guy. He had good results with other people. I mean, showed me proof and showed me in their accounts. He was like, oh yeah, we're doing this, we're running this. There's our landing pages. Here's the ad spend. Here's the results. I was like, okay, great. He started running ads for a client, got his account shut down. Couldn't get the account back.
How long had that account been established? Do you remember?
A year.
Okay. So it was established.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. At least a year. Mm-hmm. Not the only story, but that was just the one that came to mind. And that the client was just so was in a different spot, and he was just so upset about it. He was like, nope, I'm done. I'm moving on.
Really? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be really careful about the people you bring on. So yeah, I mean, it's really important to trust and bet, but you're going to make mistakes even when you do. And you know, be prepared, have insurance, and, you know, hopefully the relationship is good with your clients. I mean, our relationship was good until that point, but, you know, sometimes you just can't win them all.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. And in that situation, I'm sure that you bowed out and were respectful and was like, I get it. I understand.
I tried for so many months to work on getting that account back. I mean, I spent a good 10 grand. Trying to get that account back.
I'm sure.
You know, hiring experts and doing all this stuff to like do it. But it didn't work out. We could not get it back. There's other ways that you can get a new account. Like we can do this, this, and this. And he didn't want to do it. Like, I don't know. Maybe his heart just wasn't in it anymore.
That could be.
You know, some people sometimes looking for an excuse for why things aren't working, right?
We could have a whole other episode.
Because, you know, I mean, in our organic marketing is dead episode, I talked about like there are ways to get new accounts, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass to do it, but you can do it.
You totally can do it. But yes, I think that's an important point you're bringing up where people, if something happens where they're like, that sucks, thank God. There's like a part of them where they're like, whatever, let's just wash our hands of this and be done. There's a lot of clients that do things like that. And it's important to get to the bottom of that because you don't want that feeling of like, did I fail them? What happened here? Like what failed the situation? And more often than not, I have found that it is the actual client that's like walking away from it. Because if there's a potential X amount of dollars to make for something, but someone's not willing to put like $5,000 in to fix it, they're not in it. They're not in it. So, I mean, like in my situation, they saw $30,000 go up in friggin' smoke. They're like, whatever, that's nothing in comparison to the like $8 million you've done for us and, you know, ads. Yeah,
exactly.
They just wrote it off. Like, okay, it happens. Let's move forward. Something else, a quick tip about ad spend and just team building. What I have in place now with my company is I have a 3-tier system to check things like that. So sometimes on AdWords, things can just go crazy if you don't have a cap on something, where you're like, wait, why did I spend $4,000 in a day? What happened here? Where are the clicks coming from? What's the traffic look like? So I have two separate team leaders check on that every few hours, like clockwork. They have their alarms go off. They check it, make sure things are moving properly so it doesn't get out of hand, doesn't go on for days. And then I come in at the end of the day every day and go, okay, where are we? And take a quick look. Okay, where are things at? Are we looking good? Is it in line with our budget for the month? Yes, great. Because a client can come to me and say, I want to spend, you know, $5,000 on AdWords this month. I'll say, great, but we need to stay in that budget. But AdWords sometimes doesn't always stay within that budget. It could be within $500 or a couple thousand dollars of that. So you have to be very aware of how you're running the ads. And it's an everyday process. So for me, it made sense because I didn't want to stare at my computer all day to put people in place to make sure that if there's a red flag, let's get on it now. So that's a lot cheaper to hire someone to look at that for me than be screwed later on down the line.
Okay. So probably the biggest mistake that I've made in, let's say, the last 5 years, because it's almost 5 years to the date, I was invited to speak at an event in the Dominican Republic.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went there. It was this all inclusive, exclusive, you know, VIP treatment, fun, adventure, you know, all that
stuff. They sold it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was great. Problem was, is that I got very sick while I was there. And me being super stubborn to explain, okay, I went to breakfast and I'm like, just starting to eat breakfast, had a couple of bites. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel so well. Mm. Oh, have a couple more bites. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Oh, run to the public bathroom. That's right there. Open up the bathroom stall and I'm just throwing up. I was like, oh, I don't know what happened. Wonder if I ate like some bad food or something, you know? And so I was like, okay, well, I think I'm feeling a little better. And they're like, okay, you know, like we're done with breakfast. We're going to go and we're going on an excursion for the day. We're going to go to the waterfalls. We're going to like, you know, jump off cliffs and do all these things and, you know, go for a hike and, you know, and I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I think we can do that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I get ready and grab my stuff and get on the bus. And it's like an open bus. I don't know. What would you
like
call it?
Like an open air bus? Like
it had benches. Okay. Like imagine like a pickup truck with benches in the back. Like, sure. Like a big pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah.
With a canopy. Like.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
You're going for an adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. An adventure.
Style. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we start going and we're probably like a couple miles along on the way out there and all the like jostling around. And then suddenly I'm like, I don't feel so well. And I just roll out right in the bus.
Oh no. As you're driving?
As we're driving.
Oh,
and this
no.
doesn't stop.
Oh.
And so I just keep throwing up as the whole trip. We get there. Then we have to hike 2 miles. And so I hiked 2 miles and I'm having conversations with people. And I was like perfectly fine in between throwing up. It'd be like, I'm having a conversation with you right now. And then I'd just be like, excuse me.
You had like, you must have had amoebas or something hit your system super hard.
Oh yeah. And I was just like, so we hiked 2 miles, having conversations with people, but then just stopping to throw up every like 2 minutes.
Gross.
And so we get to the water. And once I get in the water, for some reason, it helps me stop throwing up.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, finally, I stopped throwing up. And so then we just start doing the things. We're like jumping off the cliffs and going down these like natural slides and doing all like cool things, right? Mm-hmm. And so there was like 12 areas where we're doing this. And we had a guide and they were like telling us what to do. And we get to the very last one.
Okay.
And I was the second person to go. And they just had like, you go and it's like person go, person go, person go. And I went.
Oh no.
And it's the very last one. And I went in and my legs were straight and they didn't see anything. And the water was shallow.
Oh.
And I hit and I broke my ankle.
Oh.
So then I had to walk 2 miles back to the bus on a broken ankle. that's when the migraines started setting in.
Yeah. You haven't been the same since you've been there.
Yeah.
Did they give you some weird like medicine or something?
No, no medicine. So
miserable.
Yeah. Eventually got back to the hotel after they took us out to some village so that, you know, you can go and buy stuff from stuff. It took like 3 hours to get back after with a broken ankle and me like nauseous the whole time and with a migraine and, you know, like these gnarly migraine, like really bad. And so the get back to the hotel, you know, get some Tylenol and some ibuprofen, ice on my ankle finally, just try and relax a bit and stuff. So, you know, I was in bed for, you know, quite a while just resting. But I mean, like the thing was, is that like the bad decision was to force myself to go on that excursion when I wasn't feeling well.
Right. In certain situations, you shouldn't.
Yeah. And like not paying attention to my body and just pushing through that, because like now, like I still have pain from the broken ankle, still dealing with neurological symptoms from the migraines, you know? So it's been, I mean, like 5 years of dealing with this.
I'm so sorry. That's so lame. And you stabbed your hand and fell down the stairs. So you've got a hand thing and a back thing.
Oh yeah. So yeah. And then a year before that, I fell down the stairs, had a major back injury. 5 years before that, when just was right around when I had met you,
yep.
I stabbed my hand, damaged tendons in my hand, and then had to learn how to replay guitar right when we were starting to work on our album.
But we have persevered, my friend.
Yep. So all this to say, we've done some stupid stuff and experienced some, you know, hardships in our lives, but we've still persevered, created businesses, helped a ton of other people with their lives and their businesses. So things are possible.
Anything is possible. It's amazing what you can accomplish when you learn from these things. Like I said before, you have endless possibilities of what you can in fact do every single day. And so,
well, yeah, we haven't even gotten into childhood trauma yet. So
good Lord. Message us if you want to hear about that, but I don't think so. All right, guys, that is it for this one. We will catch you next week. Bye.
On the next episode, we speak with my longtime client and friend, Crystal Davis, about the secrets to connections, conversations, and conversions. Crystal shares her strategies for being authentic in business and why your story is what connects you with your audience. And you know what helps us connect to a larger audience? Your review on Apple Podcasts. So head on over there and let us know how we're doing. All right? See you next time.